This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Watching the draft, whether it was AFC West teams, whether it was just how the draft went, what do you guys think was ultimately the kind of the best value pick or the best pick in general? Because there's a couple that stood out. I know locally everybody's going to attach themselves to one because it's very obvious anytime you thought someone was a first rounder and they go in the second round. The Chicago Bears getting Luther Burden in the second round, adding Burden to that wide receiver room that has Adunze and DJ Moore. You got a brand new offensive line anchored now by Joe Tooney, offensive minded head coach. Like, that offense should be fun in 2025. I like that pick in the spot for Chicago, given what they're trying to do with their head coach. And then I also like Jalen Milroe going to the Seattle Seahawks. Pick 92, I think it was, or 95, 92. To get him in the third round when you have Sam Darnold on a contract, that look, if he ends up falling back into the old Sam Darnold, you can get out after 2 years or whatever it is. I don't hate that pick from a pure value. Plus, maybe you have a special package this year. Jalen Milroe, as athletic as they come at the quarterback spot, maybe they do what the Steelers tried to do with Justin Fields. Occasionally, you got a package third and one or fourth and one, and you take Darnold out for a fourth and one, and you bring in Milroe, and he's able to give you some options there. So I like those two picks.
The Burden one's kind of undeniable because it's such a good fit, and you and I have talked about this before. This is where I kind of like the fit, which is, if you're a team in that spot, you got to find out about your guy. And I'll be honest, Caleb Williams will be excuseless at the end of this year. Brand new, shiny head coach who loves offense and coached up Jared Goff. A million offensive weapons, including Luther Burden. Like, I almost think that you genuinely can't dislike that pick kind of across the board for all the reasons that it just kind of fits. There were a couple of wide receiver guys. I think I was going back to like the first round guys that I really liked. I still think Hampton's a really good fit for the Chargers. And I think that that's just kind of like stylistically, I think that's a really good fit. So like there's part of me that likes that down in the later rounds. I thought Ursary from the Texans makes all the sense in the world.
They traded away Tunsil.
For a team that has done a pretty, and they're just revamping their offensive line. So they're doing what the Chiefs did. If I like the Simmons pick, Ursary's like that, except where he's likely to be their starting tackle kind of from the jump. Seemed like a guy who could have been in the first round. This might be a mistake, and I might just Kingsley Suamataia them, but like, seems like the kind of guy who could start right away, makes sense, is a fit. So, like, in that perspective, that was one of the ones that was kind of high on my list. I also thought Dylan Sampson as a fourth rounder. I can't really argue that, right? I kind of liked him in the late second, early third. So him going there is up there. And I've seen Mike Green to Baltimore get mentioned a lot.
First round talent, the character concerns is why he fell.
This goes back to like the same stuff with Shadur. It's like, you'll look past a lot of stuff, won't you?
Yeah.
Bad interview.
Teams were more worried about the baggage than when it comes to the social media stuff than maybe some of the legal issues. But also Mike Green was a first round talent. Shadur Sanders not viewed as a first round talent.
Yeah,
so they're willing to handle the off the field stuff more. And that's what the Ravens are hoping. If he stays on the straight and narrow and everything, then Mike Green, he's a guy that could be a defensive player of the year easily. Rookie of the year. I'm sorry. Eventually, maybe a defense player, but rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. Yeah, and the way I view that pick is, if I just in a vacuum say, what do I think about that from a football perspective? Great pick. I will say the Ravens GM got in some hot water because he had to sit there and answer questions about why they're taking a guy with sexual assault allegations while they're in the middle of a player who has sexual assault allegations, and then after having to answer those questions, they went ahead and took a kicker in the sixth or seventh round. So like they're already trying to plan an exit strategy for Justin Tucker, it would appear, in Baltimore. So yeah, him at that spot makes a lot of sense. Chicago had one of the better drafts, in my opinion. You had
so,
that.
So the Patriots.
You had that consult. Yeah, because I really liked their pick of Kyle Williams, yeah, not just because he was Binks guy.
Draft
seemed like a good fit for them there too.
So somebody compiled 30 plus draft grades. So across all these, I think it's 24. Sorry, draft grades across, you know, the experts that we've brought up, right? Chad Ryder and Thor Nystrom, Mel Kiper, on and on and on. The best draft grade wise, and does it mean anything? Necessarily no. But the Patriots, according to the evaluations, had the best draft of anybody, if you take a look at what New England was able to do. And the Giants had the second best draft, according to these. Seattle third, Chiefs fourth, Philly five. The worst, we gave Drew a hard time. Cincinnati at 32. I'm not even kidding. Cincinnati 32. They had D's handed out.
Look, and admittedly, draft grades are notoriously not the grades.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to look at, but it doesn't mean a damn thing.
Drew, did you like Cincinnati's draft?
Yeah, I actually did because they won.
First, you barely talked yourself into kind of liking the first round pick.
After further evaluation, I think the one thing that hindered him was technique and tackling. If they think they can fix it, the dude could be really, really, really good.
If they got some starters, maybe it works. But this might be the Bengals. You know what they did? This is an all-time least sexiest draft of all time.
Oh, 100%.
They did not take a single exciting player.
That's exactly what they needed to do.
No upside dudes.
I mean, Shamar Stewart has the upside to be.
Dude, they did take two linebackers in the first four rounds.
They need linebacker. Jermaine Pratt asked out, and they also lost another linebacker in free agency. They needed a linebacker.
Offensive linemen. Yeah.
Plus Barrett Carter can Barrett Carter can shift around like Isaiah Simmons and play safety and whatnot.
It's interesting to look at the grades and see has. Obviously, the name for every team and the writer. And so, for example, there's a couple guys that just, like a teacher would or a professor would, Cody, they just give everybody good grades, basically. Like,
oh, yeah.
So Chad Ryder, sure. Nobody got lower than a B- in his grades. Whereas then Thor Nystrom, who's his Binks guy, and Thor, I know, obviously went to KU and stuff, and he's the toughest grader on everybody. So
he gave out
two A's and he gave out multiple D's and F's. And so everybody grades a little bit differently. But ultimately, the Chiefs were the fourth highest graded team. If you're wondering about the rest of the division, the Raiders, sixth best draft according to grades. The Chargers, 23rd. And the Broncos, way down there, 24th, right after him. Sorry.
Oh, 24th, huh? That's tough. Raiders, it's hard because Ginty feels like a near perfect fit for their current setup offense. And they also had a lot of people liked the wide receiver they took, the Jack Besh kid.
Yeah.
It's always so funny the way you look at it. It's like, is it because the emotional put? They also had a million picks. They picked it 6, 58, 68, 98, 99, and 108. Hard not to like your draft when you.
Well, that's the point. That's why the Chiefs should be trying to stockpile picks too. You know?
Hard not to like someone's draft and they get six shots at it in the first 108 picks. I'd probably like that too.
I thought one of
they took a lot of players. My God, how many picks did they have?
I thought one of the better moves was it wasn't even a draft pick actually. It was a signing. Xavier Restrepo was mocked in like the third or fourth round. I think he's got a little bit of a medical question mark, but the Titans bringing him in to give Cam Ward some comfort in terms of familiarity. Is nice because
that part's fine. Like, yeah, get some off-season workouts. Maybe there's like a hidden thing there. We didn't have to even give up a draft pick for you.
Oh, and the Titans even said Cam was calling for him in like the fourth round. They said, please get Restrepo. Like, I want him.
I
think that's nice to be able to get him some familiarity where, I mean, he was very good. I think Bink loved Xavier Restrepo.
He's a dog, man. Total dude.
Well, the past, I mean, he's
we're all dudes.
I think the past 2 years he's had 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, he's very productive, ultra productive in terms of he was the go-to guy at Miami. So, you get the quarterback, it makes sense that you bring the guy in at wide receiver and just see what happens.
This is where I'm generally impressed, and then sometimes I think they're wrong. Because, like, I do value production, too, in college, which is NFL team will watch a guy run around, like, four stationary cones and be like, nope. See you later, loser. You can't handle the league. You're out of here. Get your ass out of here. And then they'll watch a different guy do that, and they'll be like, oh, my God, future superstar. Let's get this guy in our uniform.
Well, because it's the full package, right? Like, there's so many different levels to it. Did he, you know... Is there off the field stuff? Was he great in meetings? What, you know, it, what is, where is he at in so many different areas? But I get what you're saying. Like, look, the draft, it's fun. We've had fun the last couple months with it.
Sure.
Obviously at some point, you know, it gets a little exhausting, admittedly with it. It gets a little tiresome, just like the same stuff over and over and over and over. But once it gets here, it is still fun, man. You're talking about the future of your franchise as a fan or whatever, right? And you're
future
trying to figure out how the roster construction, because we all know, like, ultimately for you to have the sustained success, you got to nail your draft picks.